Okay, my name is Jill Seckitz. I'm with the TCEQ Water Quality Standards Program. I'm going to give you an update on the work we've been doing developing numeric nutrient criteria. So I think most of us in this room are at least reasonably aware of the effects of nutrients. Nutrients can be both a good as well as a not so good thing. They do, in excess, they can, you know, increase algae in open water. Okay, we don't want soupy reservoirs. They also can create excessive attached algae. Okay, the kind of green hair, if you see in streams when there's excess nutrients, they have effects on aesthetics of water quality, how the water looks. They also affect public water supplies, which make the water harder to treat for drinking water purposes. And they also affect aquatic life. They can change habitats. They can change dissolved oxygen concentrations in the water. And they can change diversity of the organisms that you see in the water. Okay, so they have a varying array of impacts on water quality in communities. So why do we need to develop these numeric nutrient criteria? We need them to set targets for assessing monitoring data, for targets of TMDL restoration plans. We need them for targets for permits, and we also need them to just meet EPA mandates. And I'll have a slide that talks about that. And this is the slide. In 1998, EPA said, states, you've got to develop numeric nutrient criteria by 2004. Okay, so that came out in 1998. It's 2012, and most states don't have them yet. So Texas has been working on them steadily since about 2000. Since 1998, EPA has come out with various other guidance documents. They allowed states to develop their own nutrient criteria development plans. Texas has had one since 2006. EPA came out with national guidance criteria that were based on 25th percentile ecoregion criteria. These numbers were really low. And that's what, let's see. This is an example of the ecoregion map for Texas, various ecoregions that we've got in the state. They've also come out with some recent guidance. This piece of guidance that we've been hearing a lot about is called the Stoner Memo, because Nancy Stoner, the acting EPA administrator, came out with it. And it kind of goes through eight elements that I'm going to talk about. Another thing that EPA has done is they've promulgated criteria development in Florida as a result of a lawsuit. EPA didn't really want to do this, and they still don't want to do it. It hasn't been a good situation for anybody. And they also required narrative criteria in a few states that didn't have them, just so the state could actually start permitting for nutrients. So what about this Florida deal? This has been getting a whole lot of press, and it's been interesting. EPA was sued by some Florida environmental groups in 2008 because the state of Florida, didn't have numeric nutrient criteria, and since EPA was pushing this, the lawsuit fell to them. As part of a consent decree settling the lawsuit, EPA said, all right, we'll develop the criteria for Florida. Florida countersued in 2010, and interestingly enough, it was the agriculture and utility groups who carried the lawsuit, not the environmental regulatory agency, like TCEQ, okay? It wasn't the Florida Department of Environmental Protection. What that agency did do is petition EPA to withdraw their criteria last April, okay? So this portion of the slide is about the legal activity. This portion of the slide is about the actual criteria development. So the initial promulgation to develop the criteria was in November of 2010. The criteria was supposed to take effect this March. That's been extended in June. That's for streams, reservoirs or lakes and streams. It was a little bit later for estuaries. That was supposed to be initially proposed in March of this year, but that's been extended till November. Since then, Florida has continued to develop their own set of criteria, and they released this in October 2011, and EPA initially gave that a pretty warm reception to what Florida proposed. I think because, honestly, EPA really does not want to do this. So what about the Stoner memo? Since it's been taking states so long to develop criteria, EPA said, all right, you know, continue to work on your work plan and your schedule for developing numeric nutrient criteria. But while your state's doing that, you need to start doing a better job of actually reducing nutrients. And this really falls to the non-point source groups and TMDL people and also permits, you know, anybody who's doing actual reductions in terms of managing nutrients and trying to reduce them. So of these eight sort of things, the last one is develop nutrients, continue to develop nutrients. So this was just kind of proposed recently. We'll see how this pans out. And of course, like I said before, not all, you know, we don't want to get rid of all nutrients. That would be a terrible thing. Stillhouse Hollow doesn't have any bass fishing tournaments because we don't have a whole lot of nutrients in the watershed. But you go to Lake Fork, you know, there's lots of good fishing, there's more nutrients. So it's really, we got to strike a balance. So what does Texas have now? We've had this narrative provision for nutrients in our standards for quite a while now, and this has allowed Texas to develop permits for nutrients. I think Peter might know more about this, but I think we have maybe about 50 permittees that have total phosphorus limits, or maybe 40. It's higher, even higher than that? Okay. So this narrative provision has taken us quite away while we've continued to work on the numeric nutrient criteria. It basically says, thou shalt not have excessive nutrients so that we don't have excessive eutrophication problems. That's basically what this says in a nutshell. Texas did develop its first set of numeric nutrient criteria based on chlorophyll A. Okay, EPA wants us to propose something for nitrogen and phosphorus. We felt our best data and our best way to go at this time was with the chlorophyll data that we had, which is actually a response variable of the nutrients. So we've got 75 reservoirs in the state, and these are in the 2010 water quality standards that have numeric chlorophyll A criteria. And these are based on an upper prediction interval of a historic chlorophyll A values around the state. It allows us to protect for existing conditions. So what's the status of these criteria? TCEQ adopted them in June of 2010. They're still under review by EPA. This last spring, EPA requested essentially for the full raw data set of the criteria, as well as a ton of trend analyses for each of the reservoirs where we proposed criteria. So this was quite a bit of work for the water quality standards team, particularly Lori Ying Fisher, who used to work at the BRA. We responded to all those requests because of Lori's hard work, and now we're still waiting for an answer. So while EPA continues to look at those, you know, we're going to continue to make progress on the streams. What we have in mind is a couple of different things. We're looking at categorizing and grouping streams and rivers based on things like geography, hydrology, chemical similarities, because that affects how systems respond to nutrients. We could actually base the criteria themselves on historical values of data that we already have. And another thing that we could do is actually base them on response variables, things like biological indices that measure how healthy your aquatic life is, DO or chlorophyll A, and attached algae in smaller streams, because that's more appropriate of an indicator rather than water column criteria, or water column chlorophyll. For estuaries, we'll probably stick with a pretty similar model. develop criteria based on historical levels of response variables like chlorophyll A or transparency. This would be Secchi depth for those of you who actually do water quality monitoring. We could relate in-stream total phosphorus and total nitrogen to the response of those things. EPA has come out with a couple of publicly available models, the Sparrow models, that incorporate statewide data to try to predict what things would look like. We can take a look at those for the estuaries. And we also have some ongoing projects with contractors to do lots of statistical analysis of our historical data to come up with maybe a pretty good value. So what are we doing right now? Okay. For the 2013 revision, okay, the water quality standards are updated every 3 years. We're in the middle of a revision right now, and we look to have one completed by 2013. Right now, what we're going to do is update our nutrient criteria development plan with what we actually did with the chlorophyll A reservoir criteria. That plan was last updated in 2006, and it's in need of a revision. We could revisit the reservoir criteria depending on what EPA says, what we hear from them, and we're going to continue to work on the streams, rivers, and the estuaries. So for right now, what we're doing for this revision is updating the plan and not proposing anything new until EPA rules one way or another on what we've already proposed. So with that, I'll take any questions you might have. Go ahead.
You have monitoring stations on any of the streams monitoring the nutrients?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We do. And those, with nutrients, it's difficult because there's a bunch of them. And really to get a complete picture, you need associated parameters. Like for a while we had orthophosphorus, but we didn't have total phosphorus, or we had maybe one of the nutrient one of the nitrogen species rather than all of them to get total nitrogen. So we do have a lot of data. It isn't always associated, but I think we've got stuff that we can work with, and we're constantly trying to make that monitoring better.
Okay. We had a monitoring station. I don't know if it was one of those in one of our parks. It washed out in 2007 and hasn't been replaced, which I'm happy with. Was that what it is? Do you think?
Which monitoring station was it?
Well, it was in Gatesville.
The CAM station? Uh-huh. Yeah, the continuous monitoring isn't so much. It did measure nutrients, but that was kind of for a different purpose, and
okay.
It had different QA associated with it.
Else.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it was measuring some similar things, but not. It's something that wasn't quite as reliable as we would like to develop numeric nutrient criteria.
Okay. We do have one of our monitoring sites in the area, though.
Okay, good. I don't want it back. I'm not asking for it back.
Yeah. Oh, I remember that station. I spent a few years of my life in that thing. Getting that up and running. Anything else?
I have a question.
Go ahead. Right. That's correct.
In 2012, if some of the reservoirs are exceeding the specific criteria,
mm-hmm.
Will they be listed as impaired?
No. We need EPA to actually act on them before they can become official standards for use in Clean Water Act purposes like the integrated report. So if EPA takes till 2020 to approve those, we won't be able to use them for the integrated report. Go ahead.
Yeah, if the CAM stations aren't used for this, are they just used for TMDLs? Or?
They were being used for that environmental response project, environmental monitoring and response project, mostly.
Is that still going?
It is in the upper portions of the Bosque. And that Gatesville site, it was a great site in terms of access. It was right in that park, but it flooded quite often. Anything else? All right. If you do want to get involved and participate, you can join our Nutrient Criteria Development Work Group or the Surface Water Quality Standards Advisory Work Group.